All right, Popeye podcast. Today is six, I think, right?
Seventh.
Seven.
Today's seven?
Yeah.
Seventh. I like your professional microphone.
Thank you. I don't know why I thought it was six today. Whatever. But anyway, yeah, we're here. We think it's popping on. She was doing a little traveling, but we think she's popping on. So we wanted to do a quick one for y'all. Trying to stay somewhat consistent. We've been doing pretty good, though, actually.
Better than we were.
Way better than we were. So we got to start off with a couple of shout-outs. So, first of all, shout-out to Young Ivy.
Ivy, queen of kindergarten.
Graduation this morning. That was a beautiful, great pictures. Very happy and proud of her.
Yeah, listen, they don't prepare you for how much you're going to cry at shit like this. I was a mess. I am so proud of her. Like, she just comes so far and does so many things. So watching her like up there singing a song and like doing the hand motions is, like, I'm about to cry now. I can't.
We can't hold it back.
Move on.
We'll move on, but we're very proud of Ivy. Second shout out, belated happy birthday to bruh.
Happy birthday to the young man.
Always sneaks up on me. I'll be like, wait, what is today?
That's because I don't say nothing.
Yeah, you don't say shit. Yeah, so niggas gonna be knowing this shit. I'll be sitting here like looking at my phone like, wait, what? So
I just be feeling weird when I be seeing niggas my age. You know my birthday coming up. Nigga, you are 53, nigga. You've had plenty of birthdays.
You missed your shot to have the parties and all that.
Unless you're hitting a milestone, my nigga.
Multiples of five. Middle, otherwise,
you're 47. Yeah. It's like, all right, cool. it's like,
come on, my nigga. Happy birthday. Exactly. Would you want me to do, give you a present, nigga? Exactly. You want me to get, you want a piece of cake?
Exactly.
Old ass nigga.
Hard on pizza.
That nigga some Linden's cookies, some butter crunch, and keep it pushing.
Yeah, nigga, you want some Lorna? You want some Lorna dudes with your old ass?
Want some Ritz crackers? shout out Nas. I missed this, but shout out to Prince. His birthday, I think, is yesterday or today. One of the two, like in the last couple of days. Just good shout out to him. I don't know how he was born in 58, so he'd have been, I don't know how he would have been, 60 something?
56.
56, is that what it is?
56.
66, yeah. Which is crazy to think of Prince and Michael as 66.
Today is his birthday.
Yeah, today is, right? I know it's today. Yeah. It's wild to think of them as like 66-year-old men, but they would have been, you know? It's kind of crazy.
Niggas get old, man.
Yeah. I mean, God bless. You know, the niggas are still here. You know, because a lot of niggas ain't make it, you know? I want to give it was one more shout out I wanted to give. It'll come back to me. But, those are the ones. I want to start with, I want to give a shout out to Bun B, who's had to sit on a stand, I believe it was yesterday, in the trial for the man who broke into his home and, put a gun in his wife's face. I remember when it happened, he called me like either that day or the next day. And the story was like, what the, you're joking, right? This cannot be a real story. It's just such a crazy story. Especially because, I mean, nobody's untouchable, but it wasn't a targeted thing. Bun is, obviously like the mayor of Houston, the unofficial mayor of Houston. So it was crazy that somebody did that. And then just the whole story of the guy with the gun, and then Bun got his gun because it's Texas, so everybody got a gun, and shot the guy. I think he shot the guy actually, and they fought. It was it's a really crazy story. But the trial, Bun and Queenie both took the stand yesterday, and it was just a crazy sentiment for dumbass niggas on the stand on social media saying, Bun is snitching. I'm like, what the fuck are y'all, the fuck are you talking about? A man broke into his home, could have killed his wife and him, legit. God bless it didn't happen. And because he wants to make sure this guy doesn't do this to anybody else and never, it goes to prison, Niggas is dumb, B. A lot of niggas is dumb. But
I don't even know. You know, obviously we want to give a shout to him for being a stand up dude.
Of course.
For that. And also we just bastardized snitching in a way that I realize a lot of you guys that use that word really don't understand street culture.
Mm-hmm.
You've never really been around street dudes.
Nope.
Because that wasn't a fucking dope house they was running.
Exactly.
That was a man's home, a taxpaying citizen, a family lived there.
Mm-hmm.
And it could have been anybody's family. And to think that's considered snitching is just beyond my comprehension.
Crazy.
And
I'm supposed to let it ride.
And I think that, again, I think that comes from a this real infatuation with street culture. I think that the YouTube generation, you know, because all they do is like sort of sit in and suck up to that,
mm-hmm.
to those clips and to niggas, you know, talking, but they only hear what they want to hear and
yep.
all of that sort of stuff. And, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, I'm glad he was able to, you know, get through that emotional portion. I'm glad his wife was able to get through that. Or still trying to get through that,
still trying to get it, yeah, because she never went back in the home again. Understandable.
Of course.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, who, you know, so I didn't see much of that. I didn't see any of that really on my timeline because I've cultivated my experience on Twitter to not just be an echo chamber, but to like, you know, I'll listen to people that I disagree with, but I'm not entertaining that. I'm not entertaining them niggas. Some conversations are definitely beneath me. And yeah. That's a conversation that is beneath me.
Yeah, and trying to convince anybody otherwise is just stupid. It's like, nigga, I'm wasting my time talking to you.
What do we talk about here?
Yeah, it's foolish. I saw something else on the timeline I wanted to get your opinion on. I had a debate in front of an argument because I don't even know the girl. So I've seen two, I'm sure there's more, but I've seen two clips of teachers because, you know, there's a thing now with teachers leaving the teaching profession because of the administration and politics of the school. And, you know, a lot of the kids are like rough and tough and, you know, all this kind of shit. So they're losing teachers in certain, what's it called? Jurisdictions. So I saw two videos of a white gal and a black lady teacher. And they both were talking to their class and they told their class that they're both classes were definitely elementary school kids. I don't know exactly how old, but they were young. You could tell by their voices, they're probably like 7 or 8. And the black lady said, you know, I'm gathering you all around because I'm not coming back next year. You know, it was very emotional. And she's like, you know, I just can't deal with teaching. But she was clear to say, it's not your fault. Like, I'm not leaving because of y'all. I'm leaving because of other things within the school. And, you know, she's crying and you can hear the kids like sniffling. And then the white lady, she left because she was traveling too far back and forth to school. So she found another teaching job much closer because she said her child was getting older and she wanted to be able to be closer and get back and forth and not spend so much time commuting. And same thing. She showed herself, like, she hugged all of them when the class was over and she closed the door and she, like, started weeping. And so I've seen a couple of people on the timeline saying, why would they put all that trauma on the kids? And like, I don't know why they did that. That's just whack. They should have said nothing. My stance is, I think it might have been more traumatic for those kids to come back and the teacher was just gone in the fall. Like, what happened to Ms. Jones? Like, what? And there's no answer.
What's so wrong with telling kids the truth?
That was my stance. I don't understand what this problem is. Like, both of these teachers clearly had a great relationship with their students, right?
Yeah.
And vice versa. And mm-hmm. so, you know, as you know, Inka, like, all of us, we're all parents, that kids spend more time in school than at home during the week, you know? So
your awake hours are at school.
Exactly. Like, so they develop a relationship with the teacher. And if it's a good teacher, like these, both of these women seem to be, there's going to be a bond. So for them to just, and the teachers wanted to tell the students, like, you know, it's not your fault. I love you guys. It's just, you know, things came up. But it was people on the timeline saying the teachers were tripping. And I was really perplexed by that.
That's still just it's a job at the end of the day. Like, if you can't do it no more, then that's part of life too. Of course, we all had teachers that like disappeared in the middle of the school year. You was like, what the fuck? Like, yeah. I know I have. Yeah, I mean, rather they just told me, like, what's the beef?
I the only thing I question is, like, if this is elementary school, then you're not going to have those students next year.
A lot of districts have the split classes. So like there's in Ivy school, there's like a K-1 class and like a second, third grade split class. So some of them do kind of stay in the same pod for multiple years. Maybe, not saying that this is the case, but that does happen.
Yeah. But I don't know. I was just thrown up, taken aback by how people was saying like it was bad. It was putting too much trauma on the kids and they should have just kept it quiet.
I mean, listen, man, people will always default to their idea of protecting a kid. Mm-hmm. I think kids are way more solid than we give them credit for. I agree. I think that they're way smarter than we think they are.
And intuitive and emotionally intelligent, and resilient.
They're going to be fine. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I promise you, nobody's going to be standing in front of a judge looking at 25 years of life talking about it was because Ms. Johnson in the third grade was not my fourth grade teacher. Like, I promise you, there's going to be a lot more real estate between those two extremes. So we could just relax on that. And every time a kid cries, doesn't mean it's a traumatic experience, my nigga. Like, we are so, right. we treat children like everything has to be perfect. Like, we try to legislate every fucking negative life thing that happens. We try to pull it out. I had a friend of mine talk, we were kind of talking in a group and they were like, yo, I've never like taking my kid to funerals. Mm. Right? Like they've never had someone relatively close enough to them pass away.
Okay.
Like everyone was a little more distant or, you know, oh, this is my great so-and-so. So there's really no relationship. So we discussed that and it was just more or less like, hey, like here's some things you should probably think about, right? This is going to allow them to understand empathy, right? Like maybe they're there as a support system. They understand those sorts of things. And I just think not even have closure because they don't have the relationship, but also
understanding,
like,
until
being there for someone, right? Yeah. Like being there for someone to know that they have the support of you, like all of those little sorts of things. And like you said, the understanding. I just think that we just try to, and I don't even think it's a conscious thing in most cases. I think it's a subconscious thing. I think we just try to block our kids from pain. We try to block them from anything that's associated that is going to be bad. And like the reality is guess what? Joey and fucking and Cameron, they're gonna scrape their fucking knees in life.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know what you're gonna do? You're gonna have to be the person to put the fucking alcohol on.
Yeah.
And guess what? Yeah. They'll be fine. They'll be back on their bike next week. Mm-hmm. Everybody take a fucking breath and relax.
Yeah.
It's also teaching them something. So what if they only met great aunt Lois 4 times, they'll know that, like, okay, this is what a funeral is. I don't have to be afraid when Pop dies, who I'm really close to.
Exactly.
That there's actually, like, after we're going to have a repast, everybody's going to laugh and tell stories.
Chicken going to be busting.
Exactly. You have to teach them what grief looks like so that when you die, God forbid, they don't spin off the rails. Like,
there's
a reason that we do things in this order. It's all about teaching them, you know, managing yourself out of parenthood so that they can someday have to parent themselves and be fine.
Mm-hmm. And then on the other side, I don't know how old this clip was, but I saw this clip yesterday that just fucking rocked me, man. It was this, I guess it was a young kid black kid. He was being disruptive in class. There was no video of that. So I guess his mom came up to the school. Yo, the mom's like, wow, beat this kid like a dude, like a grown. This kid was maybe six or seven. He was small. And she was like, you've been disrupting in the class? She's, you know, holding him up. Then she got a belt in her hand. She wailed on this kid to the point. And then she's like, next time. And the teachers are outside. Like, she walked, I guess it was lunch break or something. And the teachers are outside. And she's like, next time they call me up here, it's going to be me and you, motherfucker. It's going to be me and you. I swear, this kid was no more. He might have been seven. He might have been 5 or 6. He was small. And I was
that
like,
is
crazy. And the trauma tested.
Kids are most relaxed in themselves, and however you want to interpret that behavior of, like, you know, being free mm-hmm. in places where they feel safe.
Yep.
And in school, that tells me that in school, he feels cool to act like a fool because nobody is whooping his ass.
Mm, yeah.
So, of course, he's going to be trying the teacher because you're not giving him an inch and he can't be a kid around you.
Yeah.
If that's the consequence for getting a call home, he can't be a child around you. He has to manage himself to the point that by the time he gets to school again, he's wilding out and has to get some of that energy out.
Yeah, but I don't think she's smart enough to break that down.
Well, no, I think anybody who is hitting their kid, like, to that extent, that's a disconnect on a whole other level. And you don't see them as a human.
Yeah.
That's just something for you to control.
Yeah, you like mm-hmm. take care of him because she has to, like.
Yeah, you know. But you're actually changing the brain function of that kid when you do that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that kid is going to grow up to possibly be a maniac. Because he only knows violence to react to things. Like, my mom used to be. And what was wild was, and I've said this type of thing before, of course, in the comments, mad people are like, oh, that's just discipline. I got beat like that and I was okay. I was like, you niggas don't realize you were abused.
And you're also not okay.
And you're not okay.
If you can, like, big up and fantasize about not only beating your hypothetical children, but seeing a real life child get harmed like that in front of people.
You like, hey.
And you like, that's cool. You're not okay.
Yeah.
Your empathy is broken. On the other side of that, though, the prom kids, you know, are putting out their videos of, like, you know, everybody's very fly. But I saw one girl, and it, like, made me cry on TikTok because she was like, get ready with me for prom, even though I'm not excited, you know. And she went into this whole thing about, like, how her mom never lets her do any of the fun stuff. Like, I get to go to prom, but then I had to come right back home, even though my girlfriends, like, are all staying together overnight at a party. My mom was like, no sleepovers, I can't go. And she's like, it's really lonely being the kid that never gets to do anything. It's like, that is the emotional intelligence of that, like, 16-year-old to be like, this is loneliness. Like, this is, I want to just be a part of a thing. I'm not a bad kid. I don't get in trouble. I don't know why my mom is not letting me do this shit. It was just heartbreaking. Like, at this prom, she wants to be 18. She can't stay with the girlfriends. Like, I already know you didn't let her have no date.
Nah,
she's
prom solo, and that's the kind
of to have the experience.
That's the kind of,
like,
and that's the kind of kid that if she, her mother does let her actually go away to school, which sounds like that's
she's going away to school.
She's gonna wild out. She's gonna wild out.
Well, I don't think it's a measure of a kid wanting to wild out. I just don't think that they have allowed. I think for kids, particularly at that age, we need to allow them to work the muscles mm-hmm. of decision making, discernment, walk through those processes. They're gonna fuck some things up. Guess what, nigga? You 43 and you fucking things up.
Exactly. It happens
right? Like, everybody, like this whole idea, like the way we treat kids, man, is like they're never gonna have heartache. They're never gonna not mm-hmm. make a team. They're never gonna, no, nigga, you are not good enough to make that team.
Exactly.
I don't know what to tell. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just feel like we've gotten away from being honest with our children, and we don't use those things, right? Like, or like, hey, you know, just sort of finding a middle ground, right? Like, I remember my kids were teenagers, right? They would want to go to a party, I'm like, yeah, I'm fucking nervous. I don't really know that I want them to go to a party. So, you know what? I drop them off at the party, and my compromise is I'll be at Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, I'll be
a
very,
mile away.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm sitting in the truck watching a movie with a cup of coffee, or I'm parked somewhere where I'm not the embarrassing dad.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And making shit awkward for them, but also within arm's reach to, you know, I mean, we just got to figure that out, man. There's got to be some middle ground. There's a lot of real estate between these extremes.
Yeah, for sure.
We didn't get to talk about it last week, so I'm going to mention the Stax Records documentary.
I saw the first two parts.
Okay, yeah.
I learned a lot.
Yeah, I did too, actually.
What?
I learned a lot too. And the third part is the part I think I learned the most about the demise of Stax. I didn't know a lot of that stuff. The first two parts, I knew some, not all, but the third part, I was definitely like, wow, I had no idea this happened.
Just hearing the voices, like I got chills when a couple of those guys were singing, or when I heard they were composing different parts of music.
Yeah, making like records, making music.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, like this kind of genius, this kind of collaboration, like you just don't get that anymore.
Nah,
especially
don't.
Like Otis Redding's voice is got to be top three all time. Like there
it's still hard for me to like look at him and be like, he was only 26. Like
they all look like 14-year-old auto
mechanics. I gotta keep it real. You keep it real. We love Mr. Otis.
You don't think it was 26?
Boy, them niggas was a hard 26, bro. Yeah.
Hard.
Easy early 40s.
That was in the field since I was 7, 26, nigga. I've been drinking corn liquor since I was 10.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, I look at like my uncle's graduation pictures from high school. I'm like, you are every bit of 46 in this picture,
yeah,
nigga. Like,
exactly.
There's no way.
Exactly.
That was the look then. But
yeah. But it's
great
a great
documentary.
Al Bell kind of is the main character in the doc. I forget what year, but he started Stax pretty early and ended up eventually owning the company from the original owners. And he's kind of like the linchpin narrator, tells the story. But there are a lot of other people in the doc as well. And it covers, you know, not just Stax, but obviously everything that was going on around Stax. It covers the civil rights movement. It talks a little bit about what the Motown guys was doing. It talks about, you know, Stax switching labels and going to Columbia, CBS at the time. And,
the Lorraine Motel and that connection.
Yeah, they talk about the Lorraine Motel. Yeah, they talk about everything. Like, they talk about, of course, Watch Stax and how that came about. And Watch Stax is so, it's so interesting to watch Watch Stax because they said the tally was like 100 grand altogether of people out there, 100,000 people that came to the show around. Oh. It might have been a little less, but it was a lot of people. It was several thousand.
Them was Swiss Beats numbers, nigga.
Yeah,
them was not
been,
no 100.
Mr. Bell.
Put a little something on it.
Covered up some shit.
Put a little sauce on it.
Yeah,
it's all right, though.
Yeah, he put a little. But it was a lot of people. I mean, they did it at the Rose Bowl, which is a huge venue. And it's just like, I know it was probably 50, almost 60 years ago now, but just to watch that many people all enjoying themselves, you know, by all accounts, there was no fights, no violence. I mean, there might be some scuffle here that nobody talked about, but really no real big thing. Everybody was
nah,
kind
it of. It was, though, because so in the video, so Watts, first of all, Watts Stax is hands on the greatest, that's like the greatest, maybe 90 minutes of blackness you'll ever get on film, like top to bottom. But there was, because I remember watching one of the early, was it original, American Gangsters on BET, and they were talking to one of the old Crip dudes. And he said they used to raise hell at the Watt Stacks. Obviously not like shooting and shit, but they would definitely come through. It would definitely be a little bit of scuffing. You know, that was back when niggas were still squaring up. Yeah, still squaring up or whatever like that.
Yeah.
But But it wasn't the way we think of violence now. It wasn't that.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, because, and you know, it was that part, but to see that many people just enjoying themselves, you know, I don't, it probably was a few white people there, but it was black, you know what I'm saying? It was very few white folks there. But anyway, not getting off track, but this is a great documentary, man. You know, like I said, I don't want to spoil it for you, Inka, but like I said, the end is like, man, you know, like, you know.
I mean, you can talk about it. I'm still probably going to watch it.
Yeah, it's about like, you know, Al goes to take Stax to Sony with Clive Davis did that deal, actually. Hmm. That was one of the, I think might have been the first joint venture deal that Clive did.
But this is after Otis passed and then he found out that Atlantic.
Atlantic took their masters after that. Because Al had them basically put them, kind of locked them in the studio, for lack of a better term, and just made them work to build up the catalog again. Because, like I said, Atlantic put something in the contract and took 97% of their master recordings.
In perpetuity.
Like, in perpetuity, yeah, to this day.
That is grimy.
So they built up this catalog again, and Clive was a fan of the label, and I was like, look, this is the way to take the label to the quote-unquote next level. So they did a deal with Clive, and it was going well. It was going well, and then Clive got fired for some other shit, like something other than them. He got fired for some other shit, so they lost their champion in the building. So once they lost the champion in the building, like, they would put records out, and then Al, it's old school. I used to actually do this when I first started in the music business. Like, when you put records out back then, you had a set of, like, record stores and, you know, obviously radio. Mm-hmm. You call. I'm like, hey, brother, how's my shit selling? Is my shit moving out there? Do we need more product? You know? And Al was doing that. And they would be like, yo, we don't have any product. And he's like, well, we just put out, like, a Staple Singers album. What are you talking about? Because Sony...
They starved them out.
They send product out to the retailers and the radio stations for them to play it. Yep, and starved them out. Fucked them off bad, like really, really bad.
So one of the things I wanted to talk about with Stax is, obviously, Stax and Motown don't necessarily coincide as much as they overlap. They're not really on parallel tracks. They kind of overlap. And one of the things I noticed when I kind of really looked at that documentary and also went back, because obviously there's a difference. There's a textural difference in the sound.
Oh, yeah.
But what I realized was they were country boys.
Very.
And at Stax, you didn't have the etiquette training and all of the accoutrement that came with Motown of being this presentable Negro, right? It was, so when you listen to the vocals, right, and you listen to those Motown records, and you hear David Ruffin, or you hear any of the other singers, right? Mm-hmm. And you're like, man, those vocals are really clean, and they're really crisp. And then when you hear them live singing somewhere, you're like, wait a minute, where's all that soul?
Yeah,
on these records, and they kind of like almost extrapolated that soul for the wax.
They made it soul-ish.
Yes, they made it soul-ish by being black music, right? Not because it was. And so when you listen to Stax records and you hear like heavy accents, and you hear like the fucking Rufus Thomases of the world, and Ain't I'm Clean, and this real. You really feel like, oh, these niggas was really eating chitlins and fucking hog maws in the back of that studio
and drinking corn liquor. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's definitely a big difference. Like I said, there was country. Al's country. Al's from Arkansas. Like, he was country,
yes,
too.
Yes, yes.
It all was country. But that's what bled through the records, and that's what made people, besides the fact that I was the great songs and all that, that's what bled through the records and made people love them so much. But yeah, it's a great doc. I recommend it highly for anybody. You know, if you're into music, just the story of this, you know, storied record company, this black business. You know, it was great.
Super interesting. Yeah. I want to mention the Sister Act 2 reunion on The View.
Oh, how'd you like
this
it?
Week?
I saw clips, but I didn't see the whole
It
thing.
was great. I didn't watch the whole thing, but it was great to, first of all, Tanya Blount is such a like a magical talent. We're talking about a voice that you can hear has been through some shit. She has one of those voices. But just seeing everybody, the whole choir doing the motions, it just made my little heart happy.
I was wondering if they would get Lauren.
They said they invited her, but
I'm sure they
she
did.
did
I'm
not
sure
make it. So
they
maybe
did.
she's there now.
You're right. She just showed up. What do you mean? And it's still going on? Yeah, no, I'm sure they invited her. I mean, who knows why she did or didn't make it, but it would have been nice to see her. But yeah, that was dope. What was I? Because it's 30 years old. That
30 years old, yeah.
crazy to think about that. I wanted to talk about Summer Jam. I didn't go, but saw stuff online, and the talk is about the mishmash lineup, and
What wasn't it like 30th anniversary of Summer Jam? Weren't they doing some kind
anniversary.
of okay.
It was 30th anniversary, and about the big news was Method Man posted, because him and Redman performed, and he posted that he wasn't coming back, and it wasn't even a malicious post. It wasn't like fuck him, kid. It wasn't that. It was just like we've aged out of this, and we're out there, working hard, doing our show, and
Yeah.
kids are just staring at us, like because we're 50-something year old men, and everybody in the
They
audience,
don't know this music.
they don't
Yeah.
know this music.
We
Everybody knows.
can we be honest though? Can we be honest?
Yeah, please.
They've aged out of that crowd several years ago. Like I respect Meth, and I respect managers who are going to take some easy bread, because that's easy bread, right? You home,
And the
you
show
jump
don't
in,
have to be that long.
you jump in the truck, you go do 30 minutes down the street, nigga. You really be back home for dinner, for
Absolutely.
real.
Absolutely.
Right? So I get that, right? There's a nostalgia factor. But the reality is that when these guys were at their peak, probably 70% of that crowd was not even born. Probably another 15% of that crowd was under 7 or 8.
Absolutely.
Right? So what we're really talking about here, man, is like we've got to just start acknowledging where we are. And, some 30 years is a long time, bro. That's a long time for a festival. Summer Jam is one of the first radio stations that were doing these sorts of shows. And it used to be at the Meadowlands at at the arena. And then it moved to the stadium at a certain point. And the reality is that the show is the kids that are listening to radio, that are listening to that shit, they want to see Lotto and Sexy Red, nigga. They don't
They want to see their
what's
people. Ice
yeah
Spice,
they Ice Spice and what's the there's some new kids out. I can't remember the name that you sent me, Jeff.
Oh, Cash Cobain.
Cash Cobain, like that's who they want to see, and that's fine. Because guess what? Because in 1994, if you strutted out the fucking Fantastic Five and Cold Crush Brothers, niggas would have been looking at you like you crazy. Because that's what meth is to them.
He's Run DMC.
No, he's not even Run DMC, right? He's literally like if you did just the years, yes, like if you did the years, nigga, he's like Fantastic Five. Like
The Sugar
he's
Hill
that just
Gang.
he's Melly Mel to them niggas. He's not even Run DMC. He's first. It's that shit is so old to them. And
They said
Jermaine
that the
Dupri
niggas
made
was doing the Charleston
the
on
niggas.
stage.
First of all, that's a Hall of
I
Fame. It's a Hall of Fame tweet.
appreciate it.
The
They're trouble.
Charleston destroyed these
Nigga, that might be a top five tweet
niggas.
ever, nigga. And it's not five, for sure.
Killed these niggas, man. I mean, I don't know what I mean. And again, even Doja Cat, who is obviously of now, doesn't fit to me on a summer jam. Not in New York. As big as artist as she is, and I really like her. I think she's dope. It just doesn't kind of fit. And when you get an artist that big, what happens is what happens with her. She did a very abbreviated show. I think she did like four songs because they can't afford the production. They can't probably can't afford her actual fee. So it's like, okay, we can, for four songs, how much is it going to be? It's like Chris Rock. How much
I give you 15 minutes.
How much is one red, you know? I'm going to give you 20 minutes and I'm literally walking out to the car. I'm not stopping, they're taking pictures or nothing. But I don't know what you do at this point. Do you make it all young? Do you do the, I mean, it's expensive.
You can do more than one. That's like,
how about it? Do you do a 2-day festival, like one with the old?
No. You could do one in the, you could do, it's inside. So true. Why can't you do one in the summer? Why can't you do one in the fall or the wintertime or the springtime? Like, you can separate the shows, bro. Like, that, like, you can do it if you want to do it. I'm not saying you even need to do it because the older guys are really getting it. They getting their bread. They doing shows. Yeah, they're shows. Moving around. So it's not like they hurting and it's not like you can't go see them. But if you wanted to do, say, a block or a period of like, yo, we're going to do 94 to like, you know, 2010.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Okay, you know, you got a 15-year window there. That's a lot of real estate you can cover, right?
Then 2010 to now, which most people haven't wrapped their minds around, is basically 15 years.
It is.
People still kind of like, and I do it as well. Like, somebody will say, like, oh, yeah, shit was from, like, 2006. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it was a couple years ago. No, nigga, that shit was, like, 20 years ago. You know what I'm saying? Like it's, the time is obviously moving. And I think for some of the people who, you know, when they did that to Meth and Red, I don't say did that because it wasn't malicious, but, well, the audience not reacted. It was, I saw a lot of people kind of almost being like, how do you know who Meth and Red is? I'm like Sean said, because they weren't even born when those records came out, or they were like toddlers, like,
and I want to say this as a fellow Gen Xer and old nigga, is that nothing is worse than an old nigga that don't know he's old nigga in a young nigga room. Like,
yeah,
you gotta know what that is.
Yeah,
like, you gotta know what's gonna work here or what ain't gonna work here.
Yeah,
Just like you guys are getting booked, but fucking Tom Joyner ain't booking you.
No.
Because Miss Clarice don't want to hear all that.
Yo, that hippity hoppity.
Miss Clarice want to hear Philip Bailey say their reasons. Nigga, exactly. She don't want to hear all that.
You ain't got top of that, all that noise and that hippity hoppity.
And carrying on and jumping.
Yeah, yo, my mom said he took my dad to a Kim Waters concert 2 weeks ago, and I was like, who
the fuck? You know, so I don't know. I don't know what they're gonna do. I don't know what they're gonna do to rejig it, but they have obviously clearly have to rejig it.
They'll figure it out.
No, hopefully they'll figure it out. I wanted to mention, I saw this thing. Oh, wait, real quick, before I want to mention, a couple of records came out. So Tems dropped their album last night, today. It's really good. It's a really good album. I really like it a lot. It's just what I thought it would be. I don't know. Do we ever talk about the Tyler album?
No.
It's a really good album.
Oh, yeah?
Tyler's album is dope. It's really, really
good. Listen to it.
In fact, you know, it's a bit younger because I don't know how she is. She's really young, but it's really good. It's really good. I mean, it's not a rap or nothing, but it's just kind of like a younger, well, records are more up-tempo. But
is it like a Chloe and Halle album kind of?
No. Oh,
okay.
No. It's better. It's no hate, but it's better than that. It's fun. It's like a fun album, you know, like
when
like at the cookout and just kind of let it play and be like, oh, good song type shit. And then Kaytranada put out his album. His shit's dope. Really,
I love Kaytranada.
Really good record, like you know, up tempo dance stuff. Catchy. That's a good record. I wanted to mention, even though it was a couple weeks ago, Andre 3000 playing his flute
in the jazz fest.
The jazz fest.
And the aunties looking around like, what the fuck is this?
And I have never seen, even when I went to One Music Fest with Janet Jackson and was the headliner that night, and it was like Bryson Tiller and the big guy. I've never seen that park that crowded. Like, wow. That park was, I didn't go, I was talking about online. That park was so flooded because obviously it's hometown. Everybody wanted to see him. And I really, truly believe that people had hope that somewhere in his set, he would like do Rosa Parks or something. Like a big boy would come
out
with a song. No, he was like, I'm playing this damn flute. And he's
not
like,
even like a cute woodwind actual instrument. This nigga was playing like hollowed out sticks.
Hollowed wood.
Way out of tune.
And it just sounded crazy.
It was awful.
And people were just standing there at the stage like SpongeBob. This guy stinks.
Videos.
Yeah, niggas was tight. Cause also, it was it's Atlanta. It was so fucking hot that day. It had to be in the 90s, yo. It was boiling,
and
it
I would was be so pissed.
Yo, and the park I said was flooded. Niggas on top of each other, and this nigga's like, what? And he's just like, yo, what the fuck is this? The fuck is this? What the fuck is this?
Oh my god.
But yeah, Atlanta's full effect. Last weekend, they had a event down here that's apparently been going on for 13 years. I've never heard of, called Seersucker and Sundresses. 13.
I've heard of that.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
Yo,
that sounds like the crowd there would be just an exhausting group of people.
It's a lot of, and people like mad people flying in from out of state. Out of
oh
town.
Wow,
that's a big.
It's
heavy frats, sorority.
Yeah, the Q's, some Q's put it together. Like 13 years they've been doing it, and they had, this is the biggest crowd they said they've ever had. They have it at there's a field right next to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's a big open field. You can have stuff. So they had it there with multiple tents and stuff. So there's a lot of stuff going on down here now, man. All summer, people out here trying to get their money. God bless. But yeah, it was a lot of heads out there. I wanted to also mention, I saw this thing on, on social media. And so in St. Louis, they have this restaurant, I forget the name of it, just opened up fairly recently. And the thing about the restaurant is that it's age restricted. So you have to be, as a woman, you have to be 30 years old to get in. And as a dude, you have to be at least 35. You got to show your ID and all that stuff. So there's no kids, there's no teenagers, there's no family.
But like a restaurant, not like
a restaurant, not some takeout shit. Okay. Like a real restaurant, like a sit down, you know, you get served, the hostess, the whole shit. But there's an age restriction. I don't know anything about St. Louis, so I don't know if it's been too hectic or whatever. But they were like, nah, we ain't want no kids. We don't want no kids in here. We want all adults. But, you know, I mean, I think it's early, but it seems to be working. You know, they're serving Afro-Caribbean food, you know, jerk chicken and shit like that, and stuff, oxtails and
whatnot. Nah, nigga, you ain't finna give me no restrictions and give me some regular ass, some regular shit, nigga. You better deep fry octopus, nigga, or something. You better give me something special, nigga. Got all these, nigga, you can't be having all these restrictions for regular food, B. Like, like jerk chicken is down the street.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, what you want them to do, man? You know what I'm saying?
You know? No, I mean, I mean, listen, God bless. I mean, if you know, people run their businesses how they should run them.
Yeah.
I understand what it is, right? Like clearly, we've all been out to restaurants. We know what the under 30 crowd brings.
Get a little,
they love to come. They love to come to eat in their drawers. These guys love to come to eat, titties out, drawers.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, no panties showing under the dress.
All that.
And niggas with 19 chains on. Yep. And
all that.
Three watches. Like, I get it. They don't want that energy. They don't want a bunch of niggas arguing about the bill.
Or the brunch shit and all that.
That might be the whole reason for the restriction, honestly.
It could be.
The bill shit is definitely a part of it. Right, and I guarantee you, they probably have a card limit.
Yeah,
which means like we're only taking two cards per reservation. Like we're not about to be sitting here with eight fucking cards, splitting them $18.75, and waiting for six of you niggas to give me $4.
I was gonna send this back because I ain't like it. Take it off the menu. Take it off.
Have the shit gone.
Yeah, exactly. You know, ate everything, but the fucking.
Edges. I'm gonna tell you somebody did that shit to me at the restaurant when we had the restaurant. Yeah, a fucking lady came in and that shit still give me mad to this day. She came back in the restaurant talking about these turkey wings wasn't no good. I looked at them fucking bones on the plate. I was like, bitch, you sure? You sure they wasn't no good?
Exactly. Because they ain't stuck right now. They ain't on the plate.
Oh, man. I said, you know what, man? Here, take your bread. And I put her on the do not serve her fucking list. Like, you don't come back here.
Get out of the list.
Yeah, so, you know, so they... Yeah, so I'm interested. I mean, I don't know if I'll be able to keep up with it, but I'm interested to see how. I guess if St. Louis is working, you know, for now, we'll see. You know, if there's going to be a little trend with them, you know. I saw a thing on today where Spotify is raising their rates again. Again, this is the second time this year they've raised their rates for subscription. But they're not raising no royalty rates. So they're asking you for more bread, but none of that bread's getting passed down.
Well, yeah, and didn't they fire half of their staff or something?
Yeah, they did lay off.
What y'all need more money for?
I mean, the music business, not that it wasn't ever, you know, greedy, disgusting business. It's always been, but it's going to a whole nother level. Like, what record companies are making more per year, grossing more per year than they ever have. And like I said, they're laying off people, just gouging people, man. It's not because now you're going to get the artists and the producers even more pissed off when they know you've raised their rates and they get nothing. You get pennies as it is. You know? So
the stores are like, okay, yeah, we fucked up. We should probably lower prices now. But all the streamies are not getting that memo. And it's a little annoying.
Netflix is going up. Everything. What you been watching?
So the second half of the Bridgerton story comes out, I think, today.
Okay.
I'm gonna watch that. What have I been watching? I watched the Stax thing. You know, I can never remember when you ask me. It'll come up later.
Did you watch the TikTok doc?
The cult thing?
Yeah.
I haven't had time. It's on my list, though.
I watched it. This shit is wild. Cult leader, dude. He got him. He was dealing with all the dancers. He was taking
I remember like when that was happening in real time.
It's not long ago. It was like probably 2-3 years ago. It was recent. He was taking like 70-80% of the income.
And they were in like a content house.
Yeah. He was charging them rent. He was charging them a management fee. He was charging them to tithe. He was charging them some other shit. Like, he put all this shit on there. Because you know, part of his church. He had, I don't know all of them, but he had so many kids. He'd give the kids checkbooks. He'd open up bank accounts for them. He'd give them checkbooks. And he'd have the kids just sign each check. Yep. So then when money came, he could just put the check in because the signature was already on it. He was wilding.
That is crazy.
Yeah. It's an intense documentary. It's real intense. He was getting them. He was getting them big time.
Yeah, I'm not watching that shit.
Yeah, it'll piss you off.
It's one of them. Yeah, I've been really chilling with the dark.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of these documentaries are like, I don't feel like they're informative. I feel like they're very heavy and salacious.
Especially them Hulu joints. Really
dark. Yeah, Hulu be like,
something happened today. Next Thursday, they got the ad up on the documentary.
It's like, we found like 8 motherfuckers in a cave. And they, you know, it's just like, what is going on, bro? Like, I need this in dosages. Like, I need this in 30-second intervals on the nightly news. And then I can go find an article somewhere. I do not want 90.
2-hour episodes.
Yeah, exactly, nigga. Like, I got 90 minutes of this shit. Yeah. Are you fucking kidding me?
That's crazy, man.
Jeff. Hacks.
Yeah. Oh, Hacks. Phenomenal.
Fucking incredible show.
Great season.
Yeah.
Great season.
So good.
Ending was fire.
Shout out to Genius Smart.
She's amazing.
That is so good. I can never remember the co-star's name, the girl.
Ava is her character's name. I don't
Ava.
Know.
Good God. They
I like how they started to develop the other characters, like the goofy girl.
Yeah.
Some shit, a little more, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
The Asian guy, the Asian kid. It gave him more shit. Like the developing, and then the black dude's leaving.
Yeah, he's going
he
back.
He didn't tell her. Like he hasn't told her yet. I'm like, is he coming back next season?
We don't know exactly what's happening. So remember, he just met with the QDC guy, and then came back and was trying to give his work away. But we don't know exactly what he's gonna be doing over there.
Remember, he told he was telling the Spanish dude like all the secrets.
Yeah.
And I was like, so, and the dude was like, wait, you leaving? I said, but he didn't tell. What's the guy? Goddamn, what's her name? Jean
Smart's character.
Yeah. And they gave her sister some shit, you know, like more. They're developing the people around her now. So, I mean,
still and the daughter and the boyfriend.
Yeah, the daughter. Yeah. That was a great season.
So good. Helen Hunt? Is she okay?
I think it's just surgery and age. Cause she got to be in mid 60s by now. 63?
Yeah, I think her and Paul Reiser are both like 60. Yeah, somewhere in there.
Yeah, like in age, you know.
Oh, speaking of age, have you been seeing any of the fashion come out of Cannes?
Nah, I haven't watched. It's dope.
Demi Moore looks so good. I think she had like a little tiny facelift of course. Or something.
She's got to be 60 at least by now.
She has a movie that's in the circuit right now, and every look has been fire.
Oh,
I saw like maybe a dozen of her looks on the carpets through the festival. Fire. Killing every single look.
I got to write that shit down. And bruh said, wait for the show. The guard on the steps.
Bruh.
The guard on the steps. Let's talk about it.
So we all know what the guard is and what the guard is doing.
Yeah.
And what I was trying to say is that so when you have big events like that, they hire very particular types of people, right? Or particular types of companies. So these are people that deal with high value people. You know, they deal with very important people. They deal with VIPs on a regular basis. When you have events that are geared toward VIPs, there's still a tiered measure of access. And the problem is that everyone thinks they're a VIP, right? Like no one,
I wouldn't be here if I wasn't a VIP.
Right. So the reality is that most people have never been treated in their adult life, particularly in these spaces. They've never been told no. Mm. They've never been told to move along, right? So it's very jarring to them when they don't get to dictate what it is they want to do.
Mm.
As a security guard, obviously, you know, you have a meeting, right? Every company, all of these events, before doors open, you're probably there for setup. You know, you might be there 2-3 hours before people start arriving. You check in doors and you have a meeting. Mm-hmm. You get your directives at that meeting. Listen, we've had complaints about X, Y, and Z. We want you guys to beef up patrols in the parking lot. We need you to move cars along because cars are stalling because people are they're taking too long to come. We need you to move people. We need the guests that are coming, we need them to move expeditiously through this process. That is usually a directive. Somebody at that pay grade, quite frankly, does not take it upon themselves to just do that. They are given a order. They take that order. And the reason that I'm telling you that I believe 100% that it was an order and that she's probably... And I'll give you the reasons why she's there, but it's because she was never moved from her post. The first thing you do as a security person is if there is a conflict, if there is an issue, if you have a guard that is having a problem somewhere, the immediate response is to move that guard from that post.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want it to escalate. Call somebody else over with a better temperament. Put that guard. Tell him go take his 15. Go take a 30. Go get a cigarette, take it easy. The fact that that woman was there in multiple clips
every day
tells me that she is following orders And she is doing what she is being told to do. Now, she does this thing that I don't personally like, but I have done it and have seen it done.
With the blocking thing?
You don't touch the person. So you're not, your hand is not physically on the person, but it's close enough that they can feel, you can almost feel their hand on you.
It's like the kids.
Nah, she was touching
the kids. Like, I'm not touching you.
There were like four instances. At least on two of those instances, she was touching the person. She was touching the person that I saw, right? The person that I saw her touching was basically trying to juke her like fucking Barry Sanders to go around her.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I say all that to say is that usually people are not, you don't get those kind of jobs when you have terrible temperaments. The reason that you get to work with VIPs and the reason that you get to work with those level of people is because you have a sense of judgment. You follow orders. You do the shit that you're asked to do, right? And the night goes along smoothly. Now,
or you're just a white woman who people don't believe you're actually harmful.
And I was about to say, the reason they put her there is because the optics of a camera catching a 6'4" man with a beard,
whatever, yeah,
doing that to what is mostly going to be a woman's, women coming through there, stop it, right? You don't want those optics. That's a terrible, it's terrible.
I get everything you're saying. Even if the instruction was like, hey, we need to limit each person's time, bottom to top of the stairs, to 4 minutes so that everybody can get through. I fully understand pushing people along, making sure everybody gets their moment on the carpet. What I don't understand is you not giving me 5 feet to get my moment on the carpet the entire way up the carpet. And then when I'm trying to stand to get my moment, you are standing on my dress.
I think
that, arm like this.
I think that here's another thing. And again, this is no shot to, and let me be clear, this isn't me trying to like cape for this woman. This is me speaking as someone that has been in the situations where, no, nigga, you can't go up the stairs. I know who you are.
No, I got you. We fully understand your right? perspective. I right? get that. We are here to get the motherfucking Getty image. If you and every one of my Getty images, are you really doing an effective job of managing this carpet?
Well, I think that the question then becomes, is that security guard doing something that was not intentional? And what I mean by that is when they have these events, everybody gets these invites and everyone is told, this is what the protocol is. This is what we expect. And maybe it wasn't 4 minutes. Maybe it was 2 minutes. Listen, you're going to come around. You're going to pose. You're going to do your little dipsy do. You're going to get two poses and then we need you up there. Right. And then what happens is that two poses turns into three and then three poses turn into five. Right. And then because of the nature of no one ever telling those level of people that they need to keep moving, that it becomes very, very difficult. It's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing to tell. All I'm saying is if the owner of the basketball team tells me, can't nobody park in this space, right? And Jay-Z decides he's going to park in the space, right? Where does that leave me? Right, no, man. They told you where to park. It's not this space.
I feel you. The optics for me are really shitty in the people that this was happening to.
See,
it seemed to
thing.
Be the
that
people that thing. Were very dressed up, who needed more space for their outfit, like the girl with the Jesus on the train. Or
I mean, but now are we sure? Felt... And are we sure? Are we sure they propped it? Now I don't know. Then maybe they said, hey, we don't want to see any, political,
no trains,
no political, nothing. And you steady trying to do the Jesus dress. Now, God bless. I'm all for Jesus. This is not an anti-Jesus podcast, right? But I'm just saying, everyone wants to take everyone wants to make these opportunities their moments, right? Everyone wants to take the opportunity. And listen, I don't think that woman was, I don't think she handled this right in certain instances. And here's why.
Yeah.
Kelly stands out to me because there is a rep on the carpet.
Yep.
Yeah.
Protocol for me, if I'm working security,
talk to the rep.
Always talk to the rep. You never go directly to the person who was actually on the carpet, particularly when there's a rep. When there's a rep,
why are you even touching me?
Yeah,
you see the girl with me with the clipboard. Talk to her.
And so what ends up happening is that security gets. So when you see the Kelly situation, right, now you see dude come over with the ball head, right? You see clipboards come over, right? Because those are usually guest relations people. Their job isn't to secure the location. Their job isn't to make sure that this train keeps moving. Their job is to make celebrities and VIPs happy.
Comfortable, yep.
Right? That is their job. And sometimes their job doesn't align with the job that you've been tasked to do. Yeah. I promise you, you could, niggas will park in a handicapped spot. Right? Like, we've seen that. Like, people just take it upon themselves to do the things that they want to do in the spaces where they have been told, hey, these are the lines, these are the boundaries, these are the things that we're expecting. And by coming here, you're agreeing to that. I've been to parties where I've been to house parties where niggas had the highest security that's literally sitting at their steps. You know why? Because everyone thinks they could go upstairs.
Mm.
No one, you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, no one thinks that they're exempt. Like, you know what I'm saying?
They want to
like
use the private bathroom.
But my thing is, why was it? We don't know exactly. Maybe it was, you know, they didn't show everything, but it seems like she was only fucking with Latinas. The black girl and the Asian girl. I didn't see no white girl.
Well, listen, I ain't here to argue about the Latinos, Latinas, and the Asian folks got their own representation that can argue for them. I didn't see no Latinos getting worked up about the Jesus dress lady. I didn't see no Asians.
She was a Latina girl.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm talking about. I understood why people felt like that for Kelly. And I'm not.
Yeah, because Kelly's our girl, obviously. And you never see her. There's no temper on Kelly. Yeah. She's not Solange out here beating people up in elevators. She is, we know her to be classy and to herself and very sweet.
She was literally walking up the steps. She was walking up the steps and the lady kept putting her arm up. And she's like, yo,
She earns the benefit of the doubt for having a 25-year history in public and not losing her shit, right?
Yeah.
So when we see her lose her shit, it is safe to automatically assume that this person is now doing something that's beyond the boundaries.
Yeah.
Now, I don't personally like doing that thing where you don't touch people, but you're like right on them in their space because that I'm not technically touching you shit is something very Europeanish, right? Yeah. Like in America, like you damn near touching me, you touch me.
You're close enough.
Yeah. Like
if Europeans
if I can't turn around, you touching me.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that there's a culture thing, in terms of like understanding what that is and also probably how she was talking. Right?
Because Kelly was like, don't talk to me like that.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. There's a language that you have to have when you're dealing with VIPs, right? Mm-hmm. Can you please hurry is not the same as right this way.
Yeah.
You see the difference? Like, you see, there's a different mannerism in how you deal with people. And there's a different, and I'm not saying people as though you need to handle VIPs differently than how you would handle anyone regular. I think you should talk to people with a general understanding of how to communicate.
Yeah. And also understand, like, this is an exciting night, an exciting time. for these people. They put a lot of work into these looks and they want to be seen. So like, it's not going to go perfectly. I don't know what ceremony was waiting on the other side of that particular
Yeah,
red carpet.
up at the top of the stairs.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, we don't
We're
know all of
also
that, but I
we
do know
and that's
there's no reason for you to step on me. It's
that's
just
the other
not.
that's that the so yes, I while I agree and it would have been probably ideal for someone, and someone probably did have a conversation with her. And the reality is we saw this four times, right?
Yeah.
Let's just say for the sake of numbers, we
Yeah.
saw this
What
four
time?
times.
Yeah.
I would have to anticipate that there were hundreds of people
Yeah.
that
But
came through there.
why do we just keep getting those four times all with her? That's the problem. Now,
Because that was her,
that
but
had
that
been
was her,
a
that was her
thing.
point. That was her point of, but what I'm saying is she's at the most prominent position to be
Yeah.
filmed, right? She like the nigga that's guarding the back side door, he on his phone. That nigga, you know what I'm saying? He back
Yeah.
there
Rolling
front
the
of front.
gram.
He telling catering to bring over a plate
Yeah.
of them devil
Exactly.
eggs and the motherfucking weenie dogs or
So
whatever, right? Like,
put a couple
yeah,
wings
put
in
something to the
the
side. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I say all that to say, like, there's certain high profile. If you worked at the tunnel and you worked at the door, you were an ex, you were somebody that was experienced. You were
Yeah.
somebody that's
Had to
known.
be, because he was right in the front. He was
You
dead.
was in the front. You was a
Yeah.
point person. You had to know how to talk to, like, these niggas will really kill you out here on 27th Street. You better know how to talk to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you
I
know,
think.
I think that there was probably some training that could go into what she, and this is all based on, we're all seeing this one-sided,
Yeah.
right? We don't really know what's happening. We don't really know. We're
Right.
all kind of talking shit to some degree, because I know ain't nobody invite me down to the cons to be on nobody carpet. So I don't
I also
know.
saw that
Not
what
at all.
happens is like, obviously, like we can't see the other angle. There's hundreds of paps out there, right? And so they're all calling like for you to get your picture there. Like Inka was saying, your moment, all of the Getty image, all of them are like, Kelly, turn around, Kelly, turn around, Kelly. And as soon as Kelly just kind of turns, here go old girl with her hand. It's
With
like,
the
what
arm
the
across the
fuck, man?
dress.
It's like literally 300 people yelling because they want to take my picture, and you're
I
booking it, and you're
And
trying
also,
to
like, French people are just rude. Like,
get out. Yeah.
it's fine.
Let me also say, and the last thing I'll say about this, but let me also say, I don't know how long that carpet was. So were those particular people placed down there for a reason? Versus in a more prominent place on the carpet, and you know, to get a better photo op.
I think the
You get
steps
what I'm
are,
saying?
yeah, but I think the steps are like the pinnacle picture, like
Yeah,
seeing
it's like at the Met, you know, they
I don't know. I don't be down to the fashions like that,
because they ain't
right?
got
Like,
wings. They ain't got
you know what
wings.
I'm saying? I don't be down there eating them cucumber sandwiches, but I say all that to say, I think that people. I think people overreacted a little. Like, I think that people overreacted. And guess what? Like, we talked about with the kids. You know, when Kelly's a fucking grown woman, and when she know when somebody is invading her space and making her feel uncomfortable, not only does she have every right to fucking wag her finger and tell who the fuck you talking to, like, we get to support her in that, and we don't have to pretend like she's this fucking delicate kitten that, you know, has been wronged. Like, the niggas don't have to march on Washington because Kelly got told that she got to go up the stairs. Kelly is all right.
Ain't gonna be
I'm gonna march.
no bus
Ain't gonna
boycott.
be, you know what I'm saying? So,
I'm boycotting Cannes Film Festival as of right now. You could add my name to the list.
take my name off the list like it was on there. Wait, I was one more thing I want to talk about. But I gotta hold on. I was charging my phone. Give me 2 seconds to get it.
What? So we just got an intermission?
No, and I
what's
deleted
today?
my. I was charging my phone because there was one more thing I wanted to talk about before
Okay.
we. It was the oh, it was the Puff Rolling Stone piece. Did you read it?
I did not.
I didn't read it. The
I
commentary
started
around
and.
it felt like a lot, and
Yeah.
I need to step away from the whole shit in
Yeah.
general.
It's, I mean, again, we're going to say allegedly because, you know, who knows if it's true. I mean, Rolling Stone people did their research, so I'm going to assume that a lot of it is true, but you know, we don't know. But yeah, it's rough. And it started, apparently this behavior allegedly started at Howard. He was like, you know, yeah, it started at Howard.
This, I mean,
incidents of him, you know, being rough with women and stalking women from Howard. And, you know, there's obviously just people who went to school with Howard kind of corroborating the stories. And then the next girl they talk about was way back. You remember he was in that Stacey Ladislaw video? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
The girl that was in the car with him.
Okay.
They talked to that girl, and she said he allegedly, you know, he assaulted her. And it's, so this is a apparently a long-standing pattern. And, of course, it's, you know, the more money and power he got, it got worse and worse and worse. So
yeah,
I don't know how much of this stuff is still, you know, viable because it's been years ago. But the statute of limitations, I don't know what they are. But, yeah, it's an intense piece. I'll say that. It doesn't.
I mean, it doesn't. It's probably not something that they can bring charges with, but it doesn't. Exactly. It definitely doesn't help to your character.
No,
if you know, if you're being tried for theft, and you know, 20 motherfuckers come and say you stole from them. I mean, it's going to be really difficult to not think that the person that's blame, you know, accusing you now is completely fabricating it. So
yeah, he stole some. Yeah, so you know, yeah, but it's intense. So we're going to see what happens with that. I mean, it's ongoing. I don't know.
I mean, I didn't read it, and I think that there's about to be a full-on sort of, I don't know if what's the right word for it, but there's like almost like a sub-economy of this case.
Oh, yeah.
That takes place, like, right? Oh, like, with the people being asked to do, you know, the panels do, you know, write this and pull this up
and shade room and
So I just think that listen, I think everyone needs to be held to account for these sorts of actions. I also think that people are reading these things with 2024 eyes and not, you know, 1990 eyes.
Exactly. It was obviously a different planet back then.
Very, 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 very different. Very, very different. Like, so again, this isn't like any sort of justification or any sort of, you know, cop out, but like we look at things very, very different. And I think that assault, sexual assault in particular, I think how we view that over the last 5 to 7 years has probably changed more.
Oh yeah.
Than the previous 100 years.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like I just think how we talk about it and how we see it and what we understand it to be is very, very different.
Yeah. I agree. But that's all I got. Y'all got anything else before we go?
Nothing I can think of. Of course, we got the romance popping this weekend. Our wedding anniversary is tomorrow.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Anniversary. What y'all doing?
We going to see Bad Boys.
Okay.
That's all I know about.
Yo, peace to Will Smith, because yo, he's been working hard. Fuck.
Great.
And he's been working. He's been on everything. Like, he's been on.
I'm here for it.
He was on with Carmelo and Mero. He was on some shit I saw today. Oh, Sway in the Morning. He's been on, you know, he's all the way up to obviously the bigger things. They have him, no stone unturned for this movie. Like, he's been.
I see. And huge shout out.
They went to Mexico City and did a fucking premiere. Like, he's going ham.
He's doing shit with social media influencers, like little clips and videos and stuff. And I'm in love with the photos that he took at the Bad Boys premiere with his family, of course, and then with both Bel Air families. So
I didn't see the Bel Air families. I didn't see that.
Yeah, so like the Bel Air family, like all of them came to support, except for I think Coco Jones. She's like touring or something.
She's on the road.
And then a couple of the folks from the original Fresh Prince of Bel Air were at this premiere too, which is like, it feels good that everybody is still rocking with him, even though white people want us to have canceled him. That didn't happen in our community. We didn't give a fuck about the slap. If anything, we were, you know, cool with it.
I mean, you got slapped, niggas. No, they just, you know, this is what happens. This is what happens, man, when you just never grown up with a fucking fight on the schoolyard.
Yeah.
Like, do you know how many fucking guys that I give a pound to that when we were like fucking 13 were like fucking arch? It was like Spider-Man and whoever is in the building. Like, nigga, we was fighting all the time.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that deep. And now, listen. Obviously, it was super extreme, and obviously, I would not have done that. But like,
great
my
moment.
Nigga, he open hand slapped him. He a grown man, and listen, I just want to say this one thing too, man. A lot of Chris Rock caught a lot of shit. A lot of people said he deserved it, but what Chris Rock didn't do was he didn't fucking fold. He didn't make himself a victim. He didn't go on no fucking victim tour. He didn't call the police. He didn't do no whole shit like that. You know what I'm saying? And he still has it. I mean, outside of his joke, you know, outside of his comedy special, he don't fucking talk about it.
Nope.
Right.
Nope. He kept pushing. So God bless.
I think the nigga needed to be banned from the Oscars for 10 years. Did you think Absolutely. He's going to get on stage the next year and slap the next
year? Not somebody else. Like, who's next? Who's next?
I mean, nigga, would you... I mean, he did slap shit out the nigga, man.
He's like, yo, I'll never forget that shit, watching that shit. I was like... Wait, that shit really happened. Like, that shit really happened, bro. Like,
Will Smith knocked shit out of me.
Yeah. And Will's a big dude. 1'6", 2". Like, yeah.
And he stood there and waited for it.
Yeah.
Nobody knew that was going to happen.
He thought he was probably coming. I'm sure he thought he was coming on stage to say something.
Grab the mic, yeah.
Mike, you know, do something, and they do a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
But that nigga did not think was a bit of it. Wow. Did not think he was gonna see the four hands come to the face, nigga. Charlie Murphy style, nigga.
This shit was crazy.
Naima has joined us for the last 5 seconds.
We ended.
Okay, well, I figured I'd just come on and say hey. That's why I called to ask if you were still on.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even see that. I swear to God, I didn't see that. I didn't even see that.
That's very Naima. Hey, what y'all doing? I ain't want nothing.
You all over there?
I just stopping by. Tell him I say hey.
Can you give me a plate and keep it pushing?
You got any of that cake left? I want to play over here. But, yeah, how was the trip? Good?
It was good. So I was in New York to do a panel. It was a joint event between Warner's ERG, which I think is called Kinfolk, Sony's ERG, which is Sony Hue, and Spotify Black. And it was me, Russ Jones, who Jeffrey knows, and Steve Carlis, who's an A&R at Warner. My friend, Fredera Hadley, who is an ethnomusicologist. She's a
Dr. Freddie.
Dr. Freddie, right. She's been on the show, duh. Dr. Freddie, friend to the show. And this woman, Kimmy, who I knew of her, but I just met her. She works at Spotify. So it was a conversation basically about, because it is Black Music Month, obviously, about what the future of Black music is looking like, you know, with the genre blending and the DEI backlash and what Black music really means now and that kind of thing.
The genre blending doesn't bother me in the least bit. Like earlier I talked about the Katrinata album, which is really good, and the Thames album, which is really good. So RCA is actually pumping out some good music. But I was also mentioned how Spotify raised their rates and raised their royalty rates.
Right.
So raised their subscription rates, but didn't raise their royalty rates. So it's just getting more and more upside down with the companies, you know, just feeling like they're just gouging. Yeah. But you know, the artists, the producers are getting nothing extra.
Artists, producers are getting nothing, and there's so much. You're right. The top level companies are gouging. And the thing is that Spotify's business model doesn't actually work. They get their money from subscriptions.
Mm-hmm.
They take a loss on what they pay for licensing music, which is why they don't want to actually pay
a higher royalty rate.
The payment system they do have is even skewed. Basically, it's the people with the most streams get most of the combined money. It's not dollar. It's not like you get exactly paid based on how much.
Yeah, like Drake, Taylor Swift, Billie Eilish, they get a way bigger piece of the pie.
Exactly. So it's all. So I, you know, we didn't talk about this part, but the trend says that more and more people, like, the streaming model is about to become considered the old business model, and the new business model is going to be getting paid directly off platforms like a TikTok, a Instagram. You know, going back to like subscriptions, direct subscriptions with artists, mm-hmm. direct content downloads and stuff like that, because it's just not sustainable, especially because there's 100,000 new songs uploaded to Spotify every day.
Yep.
Every day. 100,000 new ISRC codes, which is an individual piece of content. Now, granted, a large majority of those, it might be what do they call it, Jeff, like white noise or something, yeah,
Ottawa just uploading themselves or some shit.
Yeah, so a lot of them, the majority of music on Spotify really doesn't get more than, I think, like 10,000 plays in, like, over the year or whatever, but still, that's just, it's so much you gotta compete with. It's so much people got to scroll through, look through, that comes up in search. You know, just it's so much content out here for people to compete with. Like, it's just, I don't know how any of this is sustainable, to be honest.
And I know, I don't know if it was Spotify or one of the other platforms, or Apple, probably was Spotify, because they do everything. They were talking about taking shit off. Mm-hmm. Like, it hasn't hit a certain level of streams. They're taking it off because it's too cluttered.
They're doing is they're not paying out if you haven't hit a certain number.
Yeah,
because they should also take it off platform. I agree, because it's just
too much.
It's so too much. We're not meant to have this much choice. Our brains can't function like that.
Nah, last thing I wanted to mention is I'm very excited for the Pharrell movie. I just saw the trailer.
The Lego joint.
Yeah.
I didn't see the trailer. Funny.
Yeah, you should see, it's dope. So Pharrell has a movie coming out, I think it's in October, about his life.
Did they say why it's going to be Legos?
Because, no, well, Pharrell said, in the trailer, Pharrell says, the character, the Lego guy, says to the producer, whatever, he's like, yo, I'm going to do a movie about my life. And the guy's like, yo, that's dope. Well, yeah, we're going to do it. And he says, and I want it to be Legos. And the guy's like, haha, that was funny, man. He's like, nah, seriously. And I think he did it because first of all, it's kind of childlike, like him in a way. And from a business standpoint, it makes the movie move faster, because you ain't got to wait to get Jay-Z, and you ain't got to wait to get Nori, and you ain't got to wait to
buy their character. But also, it can still be made even while Pharrell's doing
a bunch of other shit.
Fashion
and this and that. So yeah, I think that it actually makes it easier to do it as a Lego animated piece than to try to find time to put this one and that one and push a T or whatever in the movie. But the trailer looks super dope. It's super, Teddy's in it. Like, it looks really good. I think it's going to be another successful project for him. But yeah, that was it.
I love that for Pharrell.
Yeah.
Envisioning him and Tyler, they just be like, I'm going to do this shit. And they just do it.
Did you see a clip of Tyler? He's backstage with some rap dude, and he's walking, he's on his phone, and he just walks up, and the dude must be from LA too. Mm-hmm. And Tyler, he doesn't know Tyler, but Tyler must know the kid from his music. I didn't know who the kid was. And he was like, yo, what up, nigga? And he gave him a pound, but he gave him like a gang pound.
Right.
And the nigga was like, yo, like, you knew that. And Tyler just walks away.
Right.
Yeah.
Tyler's a hood. Tyler's mom was like, she's like a standard black Gen X, like Compton mom, legit. Like, she was in the club. She was whatever. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Tyler is really a chameleon. He can be whatever he wants to be whenever he wants to be it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which I love that people get that about him now. Because, you know, when Our Future first came out, like, rap.
He was just a weirdo.
But I think that's the whole thing, is like, he knows this shit. He's a student of all of this shit. But yeah, he's also like, he's an alternative kid too. He's got all of it in him. And yeah. I respect the fact that, like, he was still going to do shit on his terms. But he's so brilliant. He's so fucking brilliant. And I'm really happy that now people actually see the fullness of it. Yeah. And he's able to just, like, really... Like, I saw his Louis Vuitton campaign and you know, and it's got him in it. You know, he's sitting there posing to people and doing. It's just so it's so dope just to be able to say I'm gonna do this shit next, and then
like true visionaries.
Yeah.
He's dope, man. He's inspired. Yeah. But that's it. We ain't got no more.
Okay. Happy summer, everybody.
Yeah. Is it started yet? Is it official?
It is in my house.
Nigga, it's be Christmas next week, according to Naomi.
Exactly.
We not there yet. Listen, when we get to August,
go buy your Tim.
When the back to school shit is in school, I'm going to be like, holidays is coming because it is. It's back to school, and then a week later is Halloween, a week later is Thanksgiving, a week later is Christmas.
Back to school rollout though for retail starts like July 1, so
which is crazy. All the holiday, all the momentum, like retail moments, start earlier and earlier every year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like 2 months. Yeah, well, yeah, 2 months out from the earliest date. So yeah,
yeah, they all start. I feel like it all used to be just like a month out, maybe, but like whatever, a
couple of weeks. Anyway.
Yeah, something. But yeah, I mean, I'm still trying to get in summer mode right now. But I think the official first day of summer is June 20th.
Okay. So yeah,
soon.
All right, we'll see y'all.
New York ain't out of school yet, I don't think. So it ain't.
Yeah, we not either. They got another week. Yeah,
it's too hot.
We'll see y'all hopefully soon sometime. I don't know shit.
June is crazy.
Bye.
Bye.
See y'all later.